I invite you to open it up at John's Gospel, and we're going to be reading from the Gospel of John and chapter 1. We'll read the first 14 verses, and Cara is going to lead us in that reading.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Before we spend a moment in the scriptures, we're going to sing again about this child in a manger. If you're able, let's stand and we'll praise God together. I invite you to open your Bible again, and I want to spend, I think, almost literally just a few minutes in this passage this morning, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, and I'm really going to pick up just one or two points from this passage. But I think of the type of Christmas that we tend to have in the UK, some have been, at least in the past, in the habit of saying, Christmas is for the children. I'm sure we've all heard somebody say that at some point. It actually might be for those who would say that kind of thing that this year might have added meaning to that, because certainly with COVID restrictions, there has been and will be so little adult socialization, and therefore it might be that there's a greater emphasis around our children. The literary giant and Christian man called C.S. Lewis, he was not fond of UK-style Christmas. And in fact, he hated especially gift giving. And he made one exception, though, and that is for the children. And so he would loathe giving gifts except for the children. And his dislike for Christmas UK style and his dislike for gift giving meant that there are a number of writings by C.S. Lewis on his views on Christmas. And he is a grumpy man when he gives his views about Christmas. I don't know what happened in 1954, 1957, but he wrote extensively and in a very grumpy way about Christmas and his view of it. But in one particular place, in something that was written called What Christmas Means to Me, he wrote, "Can it really be my duty to buy and receive masses of junk every winter just to help the storekeepers?" And in a list of reasons that he gave for why giving Christmas the way we celebrate it and the giving of gifts is wrong, he said in one place, it's involuntary. He said, the modern rule is that anyone can force you to give him a present by sending you, quite unprovoked, a present of his own. It's almost blackmail, he said. And another reason, he said, people end up giving useless presents to each other just to fulfill this obligation. And maybe just underlining this, he says, there's nothing worse than having to brave the shops with all the busyness and the kind of furore of Christmas. You finally get all your presents bought, you settle down, and suddenly Mrs. Busy plops a present through the letterbox, and up you get, shoes on, and you've got to go and get another present yourself. He was not fond of UK-style British Christmas. The Apostle John, I think, has a different view of the first Christmas, both in regard to gift giving and also children. Because in this passage, as John writes about the first Christmas, he reduces, importantly, the story of a conception, of Bethlehem, of manger, of angels, of shepherds, of magi, to one verse, verse 14, where he says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us." But that coming as the incarnate Son of God, tenting amongst us, that becoming flesh, that incarnation, I think brings to John two huge truths centered around gift and children. And so in regard to children, John's children here are not children by virtue of age, but rather by virtue of relationship with Jesus. And so in verse 12, John says, "To all who receive him," Jesus, "to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And then he adds in verse 13, "Children born not of natural descent, not a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." Here is a gift that's not blackmailed out of us. It's not unprovoked in the sense of simply God coming and being forced in some way to give us a gift. This is God in the fullness of his grace coming and giving a gift that he has planned, that he has purpose, that he has prepared for many years, even to the point of sending prophets ahead to announce that the gift is coming, like we read from Isaiah. Here is a gift full of grace, full of truth, and it comes through this Jesus. And there's two things, at least, that we could say about these children that John is thinking about at Christmas. And the first is this: these children, who are not children by age, but by virtue of relationship with Jesus, are not that way, obviously, by birth. That is their own birth. In fact, that's so clear because we are seeing with John, he says in verse 12, that the way that we enter into this children-like state is actually by receiving Jesus in faith, by believing in him. In a general sense, somebody might say, yes, but every person born into this world is a child of God because everybody is created by God. And in that general sense, we might say, well, that's true. But John is not speaking in that general sense. John is speaking in a most intimate, personal, and loving sense of being a child of God. And that secure relationship doesn't come by being born naturally of parents in whatever place, whatever time, but by a relationship with Jesus Christ, by receiving him and believing in his name. It's the gift through the incarnation, through Christmas, of God to be brought into a new family. The expression that's probably appropriate to this, being given the right to be called children of God, is probably adoption. It's like being adopted into a new family. It's like coming out of a family or out of a situation which is not good and being adopted into one which is just full of security, full of love, full of belonging. And one where not only are we taken into a new family where we now have brothers and sisters who have stretched through the world, but also through the generations, where we actually come to have a new Heavenly Father. It means that we've got all the privileges and security and belonging of being in God's family. The care, the love, the protection, the provision, the very presence of God, and for eternity. We're adopted into a new family, and that by His gift. J.I. Packer, who's an Anglican minister, once wrote, "If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he or she makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as her or her father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls their worship and their prayers and their whole outlook in life, it means that they don't understand Christianity very well. For everything that Christ taught, everything that makes the New Testament new and better than the old, everything that's distinctly Christian as opposed to merely Jewish, is summed up in the knowledge of the fatherhood of God. Father is the Christian name for God." Some of you might have read this, but back in 1978, there was a very powerful book written by a lady called Bilkis Sheikh. She wasn't a Jewish lady, but in fact a Muslim lady. And she was telling her story of how she came to faith, how she came to receive Jesus, how she came to believe in His name. And the book was titled, "I Dare to Call Him Father." Because outside that intimate relationship, it would be inconceivable, and not least for a Muslim woman, to call God Father. But now she came to know Him in that intimate way through Jesus. You know, it strikes me that some of us are brought up with good dads, dads who we've loved, dads who we've respected, dads who we have almost wanted to follow in the footsteps of. This Heavenly Father takes that kind of good example, that kind of love, that kind of care, that kind of perfection to glorious heights. There is no imperfection in God's fatherly care. And everything He does out of love and with the best intentions for us. It's for our good. All things work for the good of those He loves and who love Him. But some of us are also brought up by fathers who have not been good. And for those of us who have struggled with our fathers and seen only in them maybe pain or a bad example, I think it's one of the interesting things is that in the midst of that, we know that it shouldn't be like that. And I think even though that's the only example maybe we see, we know that it shouldn't be like that because somewhere deep within, maybe because we're created in the image of God Himself, somewhere deep within, we know that's not right and there has to be a better way. There has to be another kind of father, and of course there is. And whatever kind of father we have, whether a good one or not a good one, what we don't want to do is to lose sight of the enormity of the gift that comes through Christmas to all who receive Jesus Christ, who believe in His name, the right to become children of God and to call Him Father. Whether we're 24 or whether we're 94, this is His gift to us and for us to rejoice in. And that adoption letter, if I can put it this way, is written in the blood and sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's registered and deposited with God when we come to believe. The second aspect of that gift in regard to being children of God comes in verse 13. And the picture changes. Because what John is now speaking about is not adoption. What he moves on to speak about in verse 13 is actually what we might call regeneration or new birth. So he says, "Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." Here is God sovereignly entering into our world, our lives, bringing His gift through new birth, through the work of His Holy Spirit to bring a recreation within us. So that as he adopts us and blesses us with all the rights of being part of his family, so he now comes with a new power to make us to be like that family, as we sometimes say, like father, like son, like father, like daughter, so that day by day we can be transformed into the image of our Father and walk his way. Both aspects of this gift, whether adoption or regeneration, new birth, we can say with wonderful confidence, glorious confidence, I am a child of God, and the name of my God is Father. And when we draw close to him, we draw close to one who is of our family, who cares for us, who loves for us. Christmas is certainly for the children, but peculiarly, I think John would say, the children of God, those who have come to receive Jesus. Christmas is certainly about gift giving, but peculiarly the gift of God's grace given to us in Jesus. And like all gifts, not earned, but freely given. But like all gifts, has to be received, has to be taken hold of. And so John says, if I repeat these words from verse 12, to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to be children of God. So this Christmas, whatever other gifts you get, whatever type of Christmas that you're going to enjoy or not, receive from God the gift of his fatherhood, his love, his care this Christmas by believing in the name of Jesus, receiving him as your own Savior and Lord. And this Christmas, regarding that gift, whatever other gifts you get, whatever type of Christmas you're going to celebrate, rejoice in the gift that God gives us of this fatherhood care. And may it be that as we know the exquisite love that he has for us, so that he sent his own son, that we would find ourselves loving him back, that we would find ourselves being wooed, that we would find ourselves wanting to say, Abba, Father, Dad, and mean it in a most intimate and loving way. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the gift of Christmas that comes through your Son, Jesus, and for that right to be called children of God. Lord, as we mull over these words in just these few moments, it's hard to take in the complexity and the depth that they bring to us. But Lord, when we go from here, when we turn off our televisions, put away our tablets and our laptops, Lord, may it be that you would burn the reality of these words into our hearts wherever we are, and that we would both receive Christ and rejoice in Christ and know that that fatherly care that you give us right to through that faith will never be taken from us, secure even through life, death, and even into eternity. Lord, help us to receive Christ, help us to rejoice in Christ, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.